Podcast listeners, what is going on? DedicatedView.com is bringing you the foam finger for wrestling. What is it? It's cauliflower ear. It's the wrestler's badge of honor. And what they've done, this company's brilliant. What they've done is they've taken the shape of a cauliflower ear, made it plastic and something you can wear over your ears. So now you don't have to get your ear drained, okay? You don't have to get yelled at by your mom for having mangled ears, okay? Grandmom, great-grandmom, your cousin, your girlfriend's parents, anybody can wear these things to wrestling matches as a way to promote their favorite wrestler or their favorite school, okay? So if you're a school or you're a club and you want to raise money, you can make a bunch of these things. You get them dyed in the color that you want. You put the logo you want on the back. And then you send your kids out and start selling, okay? That's a way to make money on the front side. Also, you can do is you can sit outside your district, regional, or state tournament and sell them to your fans. That way you guys can have a unified front, okay? DedicatedFeud.com is doing this for the wrestling community. It's a great product. You got to check it out, okay? We don't have a lot of things that are individually ours, but cauliflower is one of them. You go to India, Mongolia, China, Brazil, you know, any country, you can see a wrestler from a mile away. Big, broad shoulders and cauliflower ears. It's a wrestler's badge of honor, guys. DedicatedFeud.com, capitalizing on it, making it something you can give to your fans that they can enjoy, that they can brag about. Okay, you can get it customized any way you want, by colors, by designs, by names, by weight classes, you name it, you got it. Go to DedicatedFeud.com, enter the term back points, and unlock special deals. Do it, guys. Check it out. This is one of our few products that we got going on for the wrestling community, okay? It's special to us. DedicatedFeud.com, back points.
You know, he doesn't want to cut a pound. His body won't let him cut a pound. Well, then you better win the tournament, okay?
That's BS. That's bull crap.
He's got some big balls, man.
You zip your lip, you shut your mouth, and you open your ears. That's how you win. That's how you get better.
Win, you live, lose, you die.
Brian Muir.
What's up, buddy?
How are you?
Doing well.
You just getting off a workout? Sounds like you're eating.
Just got out of a workout. I'm replenishing my system.
What are you using? Greek yogurt? Sounds like you're eating Greek yogurt.
I am. I'm eating fruit, actually. Just straight up fruit and coconut water.
We had a debate about coconut water a couple days ago when I was in Kuala Lumpur. Is it true that, I mean, they were trying to say like coconut water was the greatest substance on earth? I kind of feel like there's a lot of, you know, sugary type substances in there, and that it's not as good for you as build.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. There's actually not that much sugar in it. I think as long as you go natural, it's supposed to be pretty good for you. They say that the reason that all those island populations, one of the reasons they never get heart disease or anything is because of coconut water.
Yeah, but all those island populations are huge. Have you seen Samoans?
Yeah, I feel like they're the exception, though.
Not really. Even now, like when I was in Hawaii, there was the public service announcement, drink water, not juice, because they're so used to sweet drinks. Makes them rotund. And by the way, no, Samoans aren't. Polynesians in general are pretty big people.
Yeah, but I feel like islanders as a whole aren't necessarily huge people.
Well, which islanders would you be referring to?
How about Indonesian?
Yeah, but that's because there's more of them.
so there's a weight capacity overall that they have to hit. So
yeah.
if they have more people, they span it out a little more.
If they're way too much, they sink the island that they're currently occupying.
Well, Google told me that they don't get heart disease because of coconut water, so I'm going to follow that for now, see where it takes me.
I can't think of a time the internet's been wrong, so I think you're probably...
Never. This will be the first.
This will be the first time.
Oh, my gosh. On Skype, hopefully the reception's coming through all right. This is first time.
Yeah.
Or no, time, actually.
No, but I think Skype's probably the best way, seeing as how I'm in South Delhi, which... you need to know about Delhi is it is the biggest city I've ever been in my life. It's
all right.
It's too big to sort of comprehend, I think. I think landmass-wise and people-wise, when I got off the airplane and I got picked up by this taxi driver, as we're heading out, and you know how, like, every airport is well-landscaped for, you know, 100 acres surrounding it, you know, like, welcome to O'Hare, you know, O'Hare might be a difference, but, like, you know, they have, like, nice manicured lawns and
right.
maybe some artwork from a local artiste.
Give me a nice welcoming.
Yeah. There were people on those things living their life. Like,
just going on living their life? Like, just, you weren't there?
Like living their life, like just catching a breeze. Just, I mean, and not just a few people. Like, there's just people everywhere. Like,
wow.
Taking a ticket, like, anything that happens, I feel like, that would require one or two people in America, they just hire six here. Like, cleaning the plane, there was a platoon of people ready to clean the plane. Not to mention, I had the creepiest plane ride in the history of plane rides. First of all, I'm late to get onto, not late, but I'm, you know, running behind everybody else to get on this Air India flight.
Right.
Jet Airways to India. And I jump in, I'm like in this 22nd row, and there's this like very diminutive, well-adorned Indian man sitting in the middle seat. He refuses to get up. So the guy on the outside gets up. He stays there. And this is not first class. This is not premium plus. This is like 6 inches of space. And I have to put my ass in his face. There's no two ways about it. Like, there was no option for the crotch because I had a bag. I sit down. This guy immediately turns his head completely to the side and proceeds to stare at me for 6 hours.
The whole way?
The whole way. He didn't take a break. He didn't take a break. The only time he might have taken a break is when the food came. And when the food came, he took all of the magazines are like in a large like plastic Ziploc bag. He took all the magazines out, put his food in the plastic bag, and then he wrapped it up and put it in his briefcase on his lap. And the woman saw him do this, and she's like, "Sir, like I don't know what she said, but apparently I think she pretty much said you can't take this off the plane. Like I don't know what you're thinking, but you can't take the." You can't take your meal. They're not going to let you through customs with a meal of food from the plane.
Right, right.
And so maybe like,
he's going for it.
So I'm not kidding you. He listens to her, turns back around, and stares at me. And he was staring at my crotch for a majority of that too. It was just a really awkward plane. And then he started watching the movies that I was watching. Like he just leaned over when the drinks came. He drank.
I'm picturing an Asian Borat.
As soon as I finished my drink, he finished his, and he just took all of his trash. Once he did actually eat his dinner, which he did like in a very like strange way too. As soon as he finished all of his dinner and his cups, he took it all, and just put it on. He put it on my tray table.
Classic.
Oh man, I tell you what, dude. I'm sure, you know, actually, I got a look at him. He's wearing Velcro shoes.
Do you think it was the ass in the face? Like, I feel like any part of the world, throwing your ass in somebody's face is kind of frowned upon, but different cultures might see it as...
You're asking me if in Indian culture that's a sign for let's do this?
Maybe it's like sniffing butts. It's the equivalent of sniffing butts if you're a dog.
You just give me an option. I'm noticing all this, right? And I'm basically judging the hell out of this guy. But then he turns his head and he has like a weird malformed head. And then I noticed he's also wearing Velcro sneakers. So I think I might be making fun of somebody who is less fortunate.
I know.
But here's another interesting tidbit from that flight. I got up to go to the bathroom, ass in the face again, and my neck pillow was on my seat, right? I come back, my neck pillow is not there. I'm like, this motherfucker stole my neck pillow. Like, how dare he? And then now all of a sudden he's not looking at me for a second. I'm like, this dude's guilty of sin. But then I just have this weird, like, you just get, like, a weird thought, like, wait, this guy wouldn't have stole it. Like, he likes me. He would have tried to help me. I look behind me, and the woman behind me, chilling with my neck pillow.
just took it.
Stood up, took it, and then I was, like, pointing at her, like,
great.
Yeah. just took it and then just looked flummoxed when I asked for it back. Like, what do you mean you want this back? This is
neck, dude, neck pillows, especially if you're on an uncomfortable flight, neck pillows are pretty hot commodities. You can't blame her.
No, I understand where she's coming from, but at the same time, like, once you're caught, like, and I'm staring at the item, you can't be like, yeah, you can't be like, translation no good here. You can't do that to me. You have to submit.
Was it a recognizable neck pillow? Like, you know it was yours?
Well, there was no other neck pillows on the, yeah. It was like a blow-up brown one. It was, yeah, it was, there was no question. I had the packaging for it and everything.
It was like a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, I just felt like I was the only white person on the plane, I just felt taken advantage of. I just felt really taken advantage of.
But, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, I'm not. It was great. But then I had no sleep. I was already moody. And then I land in Delhi, which is just a factory of people. I mean, I've just never seen so many people in my life. And it was just all overwhelming. So I made the decision not to be critical until the next day and give it a shot, which was yesterday. Well, yeah, it was just your today, but my yesterday. And I had a fantastic experience yesterday, so.
And you're there by yourself, right? Like, there's nobody trailing you or no video guy or anything like that?
See, there's not anybody with me, but there's an Indian journalist guy named Deepak, and Deepak is also owns a taxi company. And he is my taxi driver and guide to all things Kushti wrestling. Like, he is, if there's Kushti in India, he knows about it. And so he took me yesterday. We rolled some. I'm going to put an article up with some videos and photos that he all took. So, yeah, I do actually have one. He actually had two cameras going in addition to the camera he was using to snap photos. So he was, like, taking it from multiple angles.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you've gotten a little bit of wrestling in already.
Yeah, I've never been so sore in my life.
How are you doing out there?
Okay, I mean, my first go, I probably, like, I just was feeling it out. It's so weird to wrestle in dirt. The friction is so much different. Like, you can't sprawl for very long. You just, because eventually, like, you can't just, like, bend your hips and, like, slide out of bounds, you know? Like,
right.
You catch dirt with your feet, and it stands you up, and they finish their shot, you know? So I pretty quickly just reverted. I mean, you are who you think you are. And you just kind of revert to what you know. And so all of a sudden I started hitting left side high crotches and taking people down. But there's no incentive. The only way you win is by pin. So there's no incentive to move from bottom. You just stay on bottom and just keep your head up to avoid cradles and your arms out. I mean, it's almost like it's basing out, basically. It would just be completely stalling, but
you're just going parterre, pretty much.
You're going parterre, but you're not getting your face down in the dirt, obviously. You're keeping your head up. So you're basically – it's not really parterre. It's like bottom position in collegiate-style wrestling.
And the only way to end the match is
by fall. Bed. Yeah. It's really brutal, too. I mean, it's really hard on your body. I mean, the mud isn't that bad. You know, like the dirt, it's like really well cared for. It's super soft until it starts hardening. But it's – it was just exhausting. Probably because I was tired from the flight and the time change and stuff, and I hadn't eaten. I got tons of excuses, but
somebody stole your neck pillow on the way out.
Someone stole my fucking neck pillow.
It's a pretty good reason. Your neck's already sore coming in.
Yeah, so it was a really cool experience. The guys there were awesome.
Were you able to hit any kip overs?
I don't want to ruin it. I may or may not have won the day with a
kip. Kip heard around the world. I can't wait to see this.
It's pretty incredible. I hope it's on video. It's not the thing is these the gyms there are called akadas, and they're covered, but there's mud, so it's like you don't get a lot of natural light, and there were no professional photographers there, so it was difficult for people to take good photos. You know, because when you in the dark in action, your hand trails and it's fuzzy. So there might be a couple of good ones. There's definitely some good pose shots afterwards, like covered in mud. But remember, like, you're not wrestling in mud, you're wrestling in dirt, but your sweat turns into mud, which is kind of an interesting thing.
Sounds like a lot of fun to watch. I don't know how much fun it sounds to partake in it.
It's a blast. I mean, really, it's kind of a blast. It's just, I wasn't expecting it to be so full on. Like, I kind of expected like a ginger moment of like, oh, here's the technique. Instead, I walked out and I immediately got just a huge snap down. I was like, oh, man, it's going to be a long fucking day. And they're 18-year-old kids, you know, like just full of testosterone, and they're non-meat eaters, but they actually don't even eat vegetables. They just drink almond milk.
Wow. So they're pretty serious about it.
They're totally chats too. They don't watch movies. They don't do any entertainment. They're like, yeah, this is the chast existence that they live.
Who's tougher, the Mongolians or the Indians?
That's a tough question. I mean, Mongolian like freestylers are pretty nasty, but so are the Indians, man. Like these kids were like legitimately tough human beings. Like they didn't back down. They pushed, and again, like I was wrestling them in front of not just their teammates, but both of their fathers were there. So it was sort of, you know, I was put in a tough position.
Yeah.
I also was virtually naked.
Well, that's a positive.
For you, buddy. Just for you.
Just for the viewing public.
They don't cover a lot. These outfits don't cover very much.
Nice. We'll get the pics up, get the video up, and
I'll do a little video for you guys, for the fans. Maybe put it on the Tumblr page, which we also should promote as well. Backpoints.tumblr, no e, .com. TUMBLR.com. Pretty good. Nice. I like our Tumblr page.
I just checked it out briefly, but I'll have to take another look at it.
Well, I'm giving you the keys to that guy to add something or else. Every once in a while, add something that we talk about, you know, because then people can visualize what you talk about.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I had a good time on Twitter on Friday night.
Oh, you did?
With Harshaw, yeah. Yeah, we got into a couple of what kind of move was that moments?
Oh, the kipping. I saw that, yeah.
Kipping, re-Russian. Re-Russian was thrown out there a couple times.
The Russian to the re-Russian to the high crotch?
Russian, re-Russian to the kip. To the recap. Did you see the high crotch? Did you watch the match?
I did watch the match.
Ed Ruth is so nasty. That fake one side go the other side high crotch.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Unbelievable. I didn't realize that was Gambrel until midway through the first period.
Man.
I was watching sound.
There was no sound on the iPad. I don't know about for you.
Yeah, I didn't know sound either.
Okay. Were you on the iPad?
No, I was in a bar.
Oh. Yeah, I was on the iPad. I downloaded the app, you know, and then signed up through my parents' Verizon account. And because mm-hmm. For some reason they don't distribute that through Comcast. And we had no sound, which is frustrating. But
yeah, sure. I thought the match went pretty much. I mean, it's an upset. I guess you got to call it a slight upset, but pretty much as expected.
Well, let's talk about the matches a little bit here because you're going to be our only guest this week. The 125 match is maybe the most frustrating one for me because I felt like Nico out-wrestled him. I also felt like Nico was in on – he went back – okay, so he had to get the ride out the second time, right? And yep. McDonough ended up escaping. So the first time he goes in, he kind of grabs at a leg. He starts building up, but they call like a stalemate. Sure, no problem. Then he goes again, and he dives in on a leg, and he's building up quicker. It was completely no stall in action, you know? And McDonough faces him up and puts his left knee or his right knee over his left shoulder. And Nico goes and kind of swoops his arm over to come through the back door, and they called, a stalling or another stalemate or something. It was I thought it was a terrible call. I thought you have to give him the option of, you know, McDonough can't turn in without, you know what I'm saying? You can't turn in and not risk somebody coming in underneath you. Like, why did they stop that? Did I miss a whistle? I mean, that's my question. It's like, did I miss an earlier whistle? Because it looked to me like it was really shady.
I think it was just a fast stop. It was I think they threw a couple Iowa calls out there.
Don't you?
You're talking about overtime too. There was a right at the end of the match, Megalutis was in on a shot, pretty deep. and he was coming out the back door, and it looked like they could have – it was pretty quick to stop it.
That might have been what I was talking about then. But, yeah, it was
– yeah, that was a stalemate, I think. That was like, whoa, that was quick.
Yeah, but why not give
him – the exact same situation. Look at the St. John match and the Alton match. St. John Alton. They let that scramble go on for like 45 seconds.
That was ridiculous. I mean, they did the same thing in the Matt Brown match.
Yeah, yeah. Evans damn near tore his knee off.
And right, but then as soon as McDonough turned in against Nico in the first, I know we sound like a bunch of Penn State homers, but it did seem like a lot of Carver Hawkeye calls.
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen. That's going to happen there.
Yeah, I find it amusing that they dropped to third in the dual meet rankings. I appreciate dual meet rankings, but they just don't mean anything. Like, you want to tell me Penn State's – if you think Penn State's third in the country, then bet it. You know what I'm saying? Then yeah. Bet it. If you think they're third in the country, if you really think that, then bet them. You know, that's what's so interesting about those rankings. Like, what does it really mean?
Well, I think, like we said last week, the only team that's beating Penn State is Iowa. The way they match up with them. They're the only team I think that can win 6 out of 10.
Right.
But, yeah, who really cares? Who cares about the dual meet, where they're ranked? I mean, some people do, I'm sure, but right now it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter worth anything right now. If it mattered at all, then it's worth ranking them.
Right.
I don't know. Conway, though, getting pinned, not good.
Ramos looked like... Ramos looked really good.
Yeah, I think he was inspired to compete. He also made Sports Illustrated for that little.
Yeah, I saw. That was a sick little shot of him.
Yeah. He's an angry little munchkin, isn't he?
Angry little guy. He's fired up.
He's missing it. Did you know he's missing a tooth in his front grill?
That does not surprise me. I didn't know that, though.
I believe it's his right incisor. It's just gone.
Just gone?
It's just gone. My tooth. It's gone. Yeah, I don't know if he lost a bet or if he...
He's a lifer. You can tell he's bought into the system.
Yeah.
He's got both hands just all over him. That Stieber-Ramos match is almost... That's going to be a great match.
I was talking... Well, last week we talked to Rhys Humphreys and... Humphrey. I always want to say Humphreys. And he was saying that Stieber's just different planet type good. Now, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of obviously a homer comment for him to say too, but...
Well, I think it's obvious that he's pretty... He's different planet good. But I think Ramos might be right there.
He's tough. I mean, he's like mentally, physically, emotionally tough.
Do you think there's a chance that that's why they let Zadik go? Because Stieber beat Zadik in the Olympic trials?
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
Psychologically?
No.
Having how do you train to beat a guy how do you train a guy to beat Stieber that's lost to Stieber? Maybe.
Well, I don't know. I think the best coaches don't necessarily need to be competing all the time, you know? I mean, you know, like guys like Joe Say, for example, like he obviously knew what he was doing, but, you know, he wasn't a very good competitor. So it just, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. But at that point, if you're hedging your bets, if you're still trying to compete and you're trying to coach, you risk humiliating yourself and losing to a college kid for sure.
Well, even worse than that, a situation where you have to wrestle a kid that's on your coaching, you know?
Yeah, Brent Metcalf.
When Chris Perry was wrestling in those freestyle tournaments, he had to wrestle Pendleton a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Pendleton won close, but...
No, Perry beat Pendleton.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought Pendleton won close, but...
I'm pretty sure Perry beat Pendleton. Because I think this was a discussion I was having with Will Durkee one time about beating your coach. But I could be wrong.
But that's got to be strange. And freestyle's a different animal.
Sure. Mind you, but... Like one push out.
No.
Yeah. No problem.
But then 141, not a whole lot we need to talk about there. I mean, Ballweg, ended up getting a major, right? Which I don't know how you get majored out there, but I guess Ballweg might be a little better than we expected.
He's one of those Iowa guys who just keeps climbing the rankings.
Yeah, he's got a couple good wins. He's majoring guys in big matches. He had a close match with Stieber, I think. So he might be around in the end. One of those like Iowa guys that just comes out of nowhere, wins a national title.
I believe it's called the Jesse Whitmer syndrome.
The Jesse Whitmer, exactly. Jesse Whitmer didn't sniff the lineup until his senior year, right?
No, he just head-snapped fools into a national championship. Who did he beat in the national finals his senior year?
Guy from Illinois. Lindsey Durlacher.
How do you do that? It's so crazy. I just threw out one name, and you know these things. There's a lot of wrestlers that do this, I guess, but I can't do that. That's impressive, but that's the right answer. Correct.
Wish I had that type of talent at my job. Lindsey Durlacher. Remember, he came to UVA, actually, and put on a clinic. Or he was – it was when Buckley got hired, and Durlacher was the other candidate.
Yeah.
Buckley showed a skank roll in a super doc, and we were like, that's the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. changed our whole perspective on shit.
Yeah, Durlacher, rest in peace. We had a good time with him. I went to Navy camp because he was like coaching at Navy, or he ran the camps with.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Did he pass away? I didn't realize he passed away.
Yeah, he passed away. Maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. He was a fun guy. He took us out, like come with the counselors. I felt like we were jumping walls and at the Naval Academy, going out. I was like, this is the kind of leadership I want. This is awesome. You know, because in summer, you don't really want to stay.
Whitmer steps in the lineup and just wins a national title.
Yeah.
So I was capable of that. We haven't seen anything like that in a while. Actually, Montel Marion kind of jumped in the lineup, and he was in the national final. His first year came kind of out of nowhere. But
yeah.
They seem to be able to do that with guys. So maybe you see Ballweg make a run at the end.
Okay.
149. Went exactly as we predicted. Well, minus the major. He ended up with a major, but he came hard out of the gates and gassed at the end and ended up winning by 10.
Yeah.
He's so freaking good, man. I mean, if he got a gas tank, he's I'd say he's second in the country.
He looks so tired by the end.
He just gets so tired. Very tired. But he's capable of beating anyone but Oliver, I think.
You don't think he can beat Oliver?
I don't think so. I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't really see it happening.
What about DSJ? Great match.
DSJ, great match. I think Alton showed that he is right there. I think if nothing else, you take the field at 57. I thought Alton needed to not shoot. Alton had a minute to kind of play defense, and he took a deep shot. And that was the only way he was going to lose that match, I think.
St. John's so scrambly. He's so long.
Very scrambly. He doesn't have a whole lot of offense either. So I think Alton could have fended him off there.
I think Alton can beat him in the rematch. I think that's one of the things that's not going to happen for him. He's got to put together 5 matches. Well, I guess he did it last year when he got to the national finals. But more than any Iowa guy, he kind of has that just air of not stalling, but he's not aggressive on his feet. I mean, far be it for me to criticize somebody individually for not being aggressive on their feet, but he doesn't wow you with his.
He's got the Bob Seidel offense.
The counter offense?
He's got great counter offense. He will poke you in the eye. He'll headbutt you. All match.
It's hard when a guy's strong and I was going to say strong and long, but that's not right. Strong, like he's lanky like that, and strong. I mean, that can be really frustrating. I mean, I think we saw with his match against Jed Moore. Jed Moore got into that double.
Yep.
Got that, started picking him up, and then kind of faded quickly.
He looks like he's very frustrating to wrestle.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't. Unless you're one of the elite guys, you're not. It's very tough to take down. Even that one takedown that Alton had was, I mean, he was right up to the point where they almost called it off.
Right.
So But yeah, I think he's very beatable. I think there's a, more than a few guys in the country that could take him down.
I'm going to take you down. I'm going to take you down to Chinatown. But see, that's the difference between him and Welch, is Welch is – I don't know if Welch has the same gas tank as him. I think DSJ's gas tank's just a little bit better. Welch seems to, like, physically get dominated in those matches. You know, like
– it seems like Welch is mentally – he's got a mental block against DSJ for some reason.
Yeah, he does.
I think he's better than him.
He does better than DSJ. He just doesn't do it in the moments that he needs to do it. Like the counter offense, the big points. He doesn't score it the same, I think. I don't know.
I think he just gets in when he gets in scrambles with him. It seems like DSJ out scrambles him.
Yeah, exactly.
If he just wrestled him straight up, I think he'd beat him.
As soon as I put that DSJ doesn't shoot, everyone had to remind me that he got the last takedown against Welch in the...
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, now that we're at halftime, that bet is null and void because I made it with a man who knew that the team was already up 7 points.
Well, I had already made the bet.
Yeah, but the question, you were up 10.5 points at that point. The reason that it's null and void is you don't necessarily know that you would have taken the bet for an extra 50, because you've on occasion said to me, I won't take, yeah, I already have a bet on that. I'm not going to add any more to it. So
I'm not going to hold you. But,
yeah.
But
I was just trying to make a fun bet, but then I like make the bet and like the internet's choppy and stuff. And all of a sudden it's like 7-0 Ravens. I'm like, that's that. No, he, that's too much of an edge.
I think there's a chance that you made the bet, then you saw the score, and then you said, oh, the game already started, I guess. So,
but by the time I made the bet, I did not know the score. But they had scored. So when you saw it, they had already scored.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that's all that matters. The other thing I was going to say is I missed the Super Bowl, and I didn't miss it at all.
It was a pretty good game, but yeah, I wasn't too excited with it.
It's interesting if you haven't watched the game and you just read people's comments, how snivelly and stupid most people are. Like how overly emotional. Like even my brother's a 49ers fan, Kevin, and you know it's like
people are crying about the refs.
Oh God, Ray Lewis! All of a sudden, now he's back to being.
That's what's killing football for me, is the refs are way, way, way too involved. And they were pretty involved in that game, at least down to the end.
You know what's interesting is
their lives were over because of some of these calls.
Jake and Jeff, my friends who live in the Philippines who live in Singapore and the Philippines respectively, they watch football, it's like snap by snap. It's like some program. And they can watch. They watch entire games. They just watch them in 15 minutes.
Yeah, the NFL Network does that.
Is that where they watch? Okay.
They'll tape the game and then take out all the commercials, all the filler stuff.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
Yeah, they said like it's great.
You got to wait a day or two or whatever it is, and not see the result if you really care about it.
But if I didn't go. Even on – this is what I'm trying to say, because I didn't get a score on Twitter or Facebook. I just got reactions, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, I never once did someone say, like, I can't believe the 49ers lost by 4 points, you know, whatever. There was no, like, news story. It was just accepted that everybody knew what the result was. So I just had everybody's emotional, half-drunk, you know, nacho-laden responses. It took me a while to figure out what the score was. And, like, how the game developed. And then there was a power outage or something?
It's power outage for, like, a half hour.
Oh, my gosh. Does that in any way – this is biting off a lot. But in any way, does that sort of vindicate the response to Katrina? Like, if you can't keep the Superdome lit for a half an hour during the Super Bowl –
They said it was some sort of glitch, but when all the lights went off, everybody I watched with was thinking it was a some sort of terrorist attack. That was everyone's first thought.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think about that. So people were sitting around wondering if this wasn't like an Al-Qaeda attack.
Everyone was just like, this looks really bad. Something really bad's about to happen.
Oh. Maybe that's why people didn't. I read something that like CBS kind of didn't talk a lot during it or something, or I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty awkward. They had to fill like 20 minutes on air of just talking about the game, talking about different plays and stuff, and what each team had to do. It was pretty bad watching. And you had Dan Marino there, who apparently has a love child, a secret love child that just came out last week.
Was Dan Marino in the box?
He was on. He was there. He was one of the guys on the field doing the commentating, but they didn't go to him at all. I was hoping they were going to talk about that for a half hour. That would have been great.
So Dan, have you and Arnold shared notes about
how... So Dan, let's take this moment and let's go over your the week.
How's your week been, Dan? And then Dan responds, "I prefer you stay out of my personal affairs."
Thank you for asking.
That's incredible. I saw a brief moment of that, but that's been DNA tested and approved?
As far as I know, yeah. Okay. I didn't really read the article, but...
Okay.
But I had a good weekend. I bet... I put money on the Ravens, +3.5, as you know. And then at the half, I put money on the 49ers.
You won both sides, huh?
Got both sides.
Oh, I should mention too that that I saw the W in Bali. Saw photos of it.
Saw what?
The W in Bali, where you'll be heading soon. I saw photos of it, and you need to get your butt to the W in Bali. It is. Oh my God! You're such a one percenter. I like how you talk to us wrestling people like a normal person, but you're such a one percenter.
You know, I have an hour a week to kind of lower my status, so I choose to spend it with you.
Wait, yeah, are you moving?
This Bali trip is going to blow me out.
Are you going to move soon?
Oh, let's hope this podcast starts generating some money soon.
When's your lease up?
I got time. End of June.
Oh, okay. I got to get my real estate license so I can sell you an apartment.
Yeah, there you go. I don't think I'm going to leave this building. I think I'm just going to stay here.
Think you're going to buy something in the building?
No, I mean, I might look around at some buying opportunity. But
come on, dude. You're a grown-ass man. You got to stop throwing money out the window. Purchase a piece of property.
Yeah, we'll see. It's possible.
Did you know that Delhi is 11 and a half hours ahead of you?
No, I did not.
I don't know what they...
I put it at 12. Is yeah, where I put it.
It's 11 and a half. It's 9:15 here.
So why are you up? You were up at 3 a.m.?
I woke up. I fell asleep. I was so tired, dude, after wrestling. I fell asleep at like 10. And I'm like, my mind has no... I have no idea where I am on the planet. I'm in so many different time zones this past few weeks. So I just keep getting up. I saw that your message and I just responded to it when I went to the bathroom. It's called dedication, Brian.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it.
The 99%ers.
So I actually won a bet. I won a bet about an hour ago on your ACC titles. Believe it or not.
Against who? So
you won ACC's sophomore year and senior year, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Just clarifying.
Who did you bet against?
Nick Nelson and I had a conversation, and he was doubting me. He was doubting me.
Yeah.
Because he claimed to remember the board at UVA.
Chris DiGiuseppe beat me in the semifinals the year that I took your spot to go to Nationals.
I was going to say, I remember it well.
Yeah, it was that was the TikTok moment.
That was brutal.
I mean, I don't know. I think
that's how my career ended. That was it. I didn't wrestle again for 5 years after that.
Everybody apologized to each other, coaches, wrestlers. Everybody was apologetic afterwards. It was a really poor, poor, poor decision. And maybe I should have executed it better anyways, but it was a really poor decision.
Yeah, I don't remember the details. I just remember the heartbreak.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no...
I could have been the Jesse Whitmer that year, maybe.
The what?
I don't know. I'm not going to say I would have definitely won, but there was a chance I would have won.
Oh, the tournament?
Yeah.
No, you deserve to go. You were talented. The way that everything worked those years, the way that that system just sucked. That system just absolutely sucked. You would have been somebody that would have definitely gone on a national level.
Yeah. Well, we had 13 spots only, I think, or 14 maybe.
It was terrible. Granted, we weren't as good as we are now as a conference, but
yeah.
So let's hop back into this thing before people turn us off. 165.
165. David Taylor.
Remind me again who he is.
Nick Moore is a four-time state champ.
Uh-huh.
Four-time state champ. I don't care what state. And Iowa's pretty respectable. He's he got just absolutely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because he's not – I mean, he's doing well this year. I think he might All-American this year. But Taylor's just that good. Taylor, I don't understand how he loses to Dake when you watch him wrestle like that.
Right.
I just don't get it. But I think it's just because Dake's defense is so good.
Dake's got a lot of heart. Like, he does not allow himself to lose. But
– no, he's got that – exactly. He's got that I'm not going to lose thing going on. But – yeah, Taylor just looks like the better wrestler to me. He looks like – him and Ruth look like two guys that are like once-in-a-generation type guys.
Right. I think it's so interesting that Ruth is – in my opinion, Ruth's the better wrestler. And
yeah. Ruth is incredible. He's incredible.
But we don't – he – but this whole like Dake-Taylor thing sort of – I don't know. It kind of outshines him a little bit.
Yeah, he does. He does. It's the way – I think Taylor makes it look – they both make it look very easy. But Taylor just never stops, you know? Like, Ruth kind of hangs out here and there.
Well, he got taken down, too. But, I mean, Taylor gets taken down on occasion.
He got taken down. But Taylor's just 100% going. He's faking. He's taking shot after shot after shot. Ruth is – he seems like he can get a takedown at will, but he will also kind of lay back and hang out for a while.
Yeah.
At times. And then, you know, when he has to do it, he'll get a tech fall or get a major or whatever. Yeah, both those guys. I mean, both those guys are insane.
What'd you think about the Brown match?
Thought it went pretty much as expected. I expected Evans to win a close match. I think, like I said last week, I think Brown is going to be – he's going to come up short against the top five guys, I think.
The Brown one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think – there's something weird about him, like where he's really stiff and he can't move, like laterally a little bit. Like you saw him, like, he couldn't move his head fast enough to like protect his side. You know, like he's like a stegosaurus. You know, like
very very straightforward.
Yeah. But then he also is good funky once he like decides he needs to funk. But you know, like it was like turning a battleship for him to try to face him up. He couldn't really do it.
I think he's right there in his feet with. With most of those guys, I think he's a step below on the mat. And that's not why he lost that last match, but I think like scramble mat type situations, he's not gonna come out on top.
Well, he broke away from Evans and like he couldn't face him up after kicking away. It was a really strange moment. Like
that was weird. He ended up on his knees and he just kind of like fell.
Right. It felt like, that's why I said Stegosaurus. It felt like a velociraptor was coming at him and he couldn't turn. And he was just like, wah! You know?
Went straight down. Yeah. No, I actually saw that moment and I was like, that's really weird.
Did you know that?
I don't think he gassed.
No. He didn't seem like he gassed. Because he kicked away, but it just, again, like, just. He took a torpedo to the side.
Evans is slowly becoming. An Iowa wrestling icon.
Because of the mustache. Mustaches are the thing. That's what...
The mustache is the way he's winning matches. He's winning all these matches like right at the end.
Yeah.
He's getting a quick following.
You know, it was yesterday when I was wrestling in the dirt. And, you know, just basically off the bench. Like, no... There was no stretching. There was no... immediately getting tossed in with two, like, you know... virile 18-year-old boys who just were so strong. And I was like, man, like, as much as we're critical of these guys at times or, you know, judging their technique, like, you forget what kind of shape you have to be in. Like, it's one thing to say, like, oh my gosh, you have to be in such good shape to be a wrestler.
Right.
You have to be in extraordinary shape to do what they do for 7 minutes. I mean, it's tougher in a lot of ways than fighting conditioning.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. How much different training for a 5-round fight is? It's got to be a lot different. I think that's got to be harder than a wrestling match, obviously.
25 minutes of fighting, yeah, for sure. But, like, you can take breaks. You can't really take breaks in wrestling. That's the whole thing, because of stalling. You just can't take a break. There's really nowhere where you're just allowed to hang out. If I put in, if I'm like Damian Maia and I put in a rear naked choke against Fitch, I can just hang out.
A 7-minute match.
Huh?
I'm sorry. I don't think I'd make it through a 7-minute match.
Oh, God, no. I learned this last year, 2 years ago. It's not easy. Because even you saw guys like Hudson Taylor, like, the only reason he got seventh at Midlands and not first was because, you know, you can't recreate that level of fitness. And also testosterone. I mean, I think that you just start you just start losing testosterone. Unless you're, of course, Vitor Belfort and you test at six times the limit.
Oof. Did they call it a no contest?
No, not yet. They cleared him. I mean, it was an unfair fight. I mean, regardless, I already paid the money out to you, but regardless, this has got to change because people will stop betting. Like, why am I going to bet? I'm not going to bet another Vitor Belfort fight. How do I know he's not, you know, it's just annoying because you're not getting a real fight. It's not a sporting contest when somebody is on that many drugs. It's not like baseball where, like, Braun hits another home run, changes maybe, like, the fourth inning score. Like, Vitor Belfort head-kicking Bisping, knocking him out. He's not doing that as a 40 – how old is he, 42? Whatever he is.
No, he can't be that old.
38?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that range. He's under 40, though.
Okay, so he's under 40, but, like, a 38-year-old guy, dude, he's not doing that. Like, you're not head-kicking – you don't look that good at that age. And by the way, his skin was like weird. Look, I don't know. It's just annoying. It really pisses me off. It's not even.
You just got bet. The way to fix that is you just bet on Vitor Belfort.
Right. But then, well, okay. But then what if, like, all of a sudden that gets corrected or the guy he's fighting is on more testosterone? It's ridiculous. But it also makes me want to take testosterone.
I thought about that today. I might get into deer antler.
Deer antler? That's all the rage.
It was flowing around the pit today. This guy at work had it.
I gurgle it every night before bed. Just gurgle.
I just want to put one or two drops in a day.
Just see what happens.
Just to save me from breaking shoulders and knees. And I almost got my knee torn off last night, by the way.
Yeah?
Straight knee bar. Straight knee bar.
Did you tap?
I was like, what are you doing? What's going on? Because we're in gi. Right? There's no knee bars. Don't knee bar somebody. I mean, we don't have to get into this, but yeah, I was not a happy camper for sure.
Did you say something?
It was a focus of the class at the end of it. There was something said about
Jay
it.
Jay said something?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
What did he say?
We were fine afterwards. But it was just, it's a no-no. You know, you just don't do it, in my opinion.
And he cranked it.
Cranked it.
And you're a blue belt, so he's definitely not allowed to do that.
Yeah, that was the discussion. That's where the discussion went. Anyway, so I think Evans, if you had to pick right now, you get – and actually, this is great. This is a great bet. So Will Durkee, what, 3-4 years ago when Max Askren won at 184, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gave me – it was a similar type weight. It was wide open. There's like 8 guys that can win it. And he gave me 6-1 odds, and I got to pick 2 guys.
Okay.
All right? So if you were to pick 2 guys right now to win 174, who would you pick?
Oh, man. Is Kokesh still undefeated?
He's got 1 loss to Storley.
Who's Storley lost to?
Perry.
God damn. If I had two guys, I would pick Kokesh and Perry.
Kokesh and Perry? That's pretty good. Pretty good.
Hey, would you choose?
I think I'm taking Evans. I'm putting Evans in there. And I guess Perry's probably the smart choice.
Like, why he got majored, I don't know.
Yeah, that's strange. Maybe Storley. Evans and Storley.
I don't know. Just how do you bet against Perry? I think he's the best wrestler at the weight still, but I got to find out why. I imagine he got fived, but that's just a guess.
Yeah. Well, he got fived and then some because he got majored, right?
Okay, well, it's not impossible that he got fived, lost the riding 10-point, got the escape, 6-1, and then went for a late takedown and got taken down. I don't know. Or it was 3-1, and he went for – and he went.
I'm not sure how the match went. I do know that they there was a chance that Bradley and Galagayoff were going to wrestle.
When?
And they held out Bradley.
Oh, smart.
Think so? I think that's so bad for the sport.
Why? If dual meets don't mean anything, then why wrestle them? Then why wrestle these kids?
If you're trying to build a, if you're trying to build a base, if you're trying to build a fan base, or some hype around your program, you want to have.
That doesn't matter. The coach's results. It doesn't matter. I mean, they want Bradley to win a national championship. He's going to do it from the one seed. Let these other guys fight it out. You know.
Still got to get through Galgal.
If he's the four seed, I'd rather see him once than twice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand why they did it, but I don't know. I don't like the move. And on top of that, they could have won the dual meet. If Bradley beats him again, they win.
Of course, he could have just been hurt.
No, because he wrestled the next night.
Oops.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the move, but sure, there are reasons to do it. 184
covered. Well, what do you need to say?
Ruth, different planet. 197, Quentin Wright. That match went pretty much as expected. Didn't get the major. Bjorlak's pretty good. He's he looks like he's gonna All American.
Who?
Bjorlak.
Yeah, he's pretty tough. I can hear you typing. Yeah.
Sorry. And then heavyweight. Oh, heavyweight was actually, what is it, 7-2?
Man. He got benched. Huge. He got benched.
Who, Gingrich did?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Jimmy Lawson.
Jimmy Lawson then put a butt kicking on the heavyweight from Illinois.
Jimmy Lawson's good, man. He's well, the guy's been out of wrestling for 2 years.
I think losing his spot was probably something that motivated him. They, by the way, Penn State housed Illinois. They beat 37-0.
Shut them out.
You think?
Megaluz, I guess, was down, though, and then got the pin.
Was he really?
Yeah, he's down 3-1.
Ooh, Wahoo's had a tough one against Maryland.
Yeah, yeah, 2 points.
Well, we would have. It should have been 24-30. Should have been 30-2. Should have been 30-10. But Gentry got somehow beat. I know how he beat Snyder. He just watched a film, but he beat Snyder, and then somehow. I think Jeff Alexander has some move that he does, and I don't think that – I don't know what happened. He got pinned in 30 seconds, DeCamillo.
Yeah, saw that.
So it's kind of fluky.
It's actually impressive that they still won the match because
– that's a lot of points.
A lot of their big guns went down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
125 in the ACC.
Great.
How about that one?
Great weight.
Great weight.
I think everyone's going.
Is that possible?
No, because Duke, but I think there's going to be a lot of people going. I mean, obviously Maryland, or maybe not obviously Maryland, probably Maryland, Virginia, Virginia Tech, UNC.
UNC. That UNC kid has beat everyone.
He's undefeated, isn't he?
I don't know if he's undefeated. What, he beat Snyder and he beat Garnett?
They have a 74-pounder who beat Fauzi. Now, granted, that was it was kind of a BS thing, but he is funky and good. He's actually undefeated, or he was when he wrestled Fauzi. because he was coming off injury the whole season. And he wrestles like, I don't know how to describe how he wrestles, but he's very like, he could win it at 74. I don't know. He like, he's just loosey-goosey. Try to find his
name. You know who could win it at 74, though, is not even really being thought about is Asper.
The Aspirator?
The Aspirator.
And you still have Nick Heflin.
Yeah, I kind of sleep on Heflin a little bit. I didn't like what I saw out of him.
That freshman from Arizona State's not bad. Blake Stauffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, Asper, he might bypass all those guys that beat each other up in the Big Tens. He might get a second or third seed.
Right.
Right? So, this is last year. You can make some noise there. It's the greatest way, I think, in a long time as far as depth.
That Stauffer kid has only lost to he's beat some good kids. He beat Fauzi, and then but his losses are all medical forfeits, which aren't really losses. But he lost to Dan Yates of Michigan, lost to Kokesh 3-0, and then he lost a medical forfeit to Chris Perry. Apparently he's injured often, but he's tough.
Kokesh and Evans this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
At Iowa. Should we get into the lines? Go through some lines here?
Well, I'm asking first if you want to get out of your bet with Mario Mason and...
No, I'm keeping that on.
You sure?
Actually, Mason, I think, is out of the lineup at this point. I'm not sure if he's hurt or...
Yeah.
But he's not been wrestling. So...
Tough to get in there if he's not wrestling.
With the guy not entering EIWAs could make it difficult, but no, I'll keep it on.
Alright. Fair enough.
It's $10 bet or something? I'll ride that.
I think it was $1,000 or something. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah. Winston though. I'm really, really banking on Winston to get an All American this year. But we'll see. He's got to turn it around. He's had tough match after tough match after tough match. He has not had an easy schedule at all.
Come on, man. So you want lines for this week?
Yeah, let's run through them.
Go.
As far as dual meets, there's maybe one dual meet we can go through at the end, but there's some really good individual matchups, so I'm just going to throw them at you. Let's see. Ohio State, Michigan on Friday. Unfortunately, I don't think we need to talk about that. There's not really any compelling matchups.
Okay.
And the duel is not going to be close. Anyway, I thought it was interesting that they are wrestling Friday, but it's really a non-event, in my opinion. Penn State, Pittsburgh.
Penn State, Pittsburgh.
Yep, 197.
Ooh, it's back again.
Back on. And I'm going to say this match is a pick'em.
You like a pick'em here?
Quentin Wright, Matt Wilkes. Pick'em.
I'll take Wilkes.
I knew you'd say that, and I'll take Quentin Wright.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
How much you want to go?
Yeah. Your number. What do you want to do?
You're down a lot of money to me right now, so I'll go.
I'm down zero money to you, but
I'll go 10.
All right, $10. Iowa at Illinois. That's actually pretty good to me. McDonough and Delgado. McDonough, Delgado. I'm going to say McDonough minus a point and a half.
Oh, yeah. I'll take McDonough.
Yeah? I'll take Delgado on that.
Okay. Make sure you
McDonough's got to make weight. He's coming off an hour weigh-in. I think Delgado is just going to be all over the mat. I think those are two guys He's a guy that's not really talked about a whole lot, but I think he's in the mix too. I mean, he's up 3-1 against Megalutis, yet stuck with like 10 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
That's another good weight. I think McDonough wins it, but it's a good weight. Moving on, Iowa, Illinois, Evans and Blanton, Jordan Blanton. I think Evans is -2.5.
Oh, God, Evans all day long. I think he opens it up on Blanton. But Blanton, if he decides sometimes, he'll just come to a match and decide to wrestle. And
right. He's got a weird style, too, for him.
Yeah.
So, moving on, we've got Nebraska at Iowa Sunday. Kokesh
Evans.
Kokesh Evans. Who would you say, who should be the favorite in the match?
In Kokesh Evans?
Yeah.
I think Evans is the favorite.
You think so? I would think that people would think Kokesh is the favorite, but I'd agree. I think Evans is the favorite. And I'm going to say that he is a favorite by 1 point. Evans -1.
Well, then I'll take Kokesh.
Okay.
Because I can get the push at 1.
You can get the push at 1, yeah. You can definitely get the push at 1. Evans at home, I think he gets it done again. He's one of those guys that just doesn't lose at Carver Hawkeye.
Yeah, he might not. I wonder if that stash is going to creep onto illegal soon.
Uncle Creepy. Uncle Creepy would be a good nickname for him.
It would be. Did you watch the fight this weekend?
Yeah, I did. What did you think of...
I didn't see him.
Oh, you didn't?
Couldn't watch him.
Yeah, I thought... actually, there was a ton of upsets. It was a night of upsets.
It was a night of Brazilians.
Besides the main event, yeah, Brazilians cleaned up.
I did actually bet them. I bet it right, though. I knew...
I had money on Maya.
Yeah. Well, because what is he going to do? Fitch is going to take him down, and then...
Right.
Well, then you're on the ground with the greatest jiu-jitsu guy that's ever been in MMA. Apologies.
Damian Maya took him down like 4 times. Just kept double-legging him and finishing.
He did?
It was crazy. Yeah. Yeah, and then Fitch would kind of turn away, and Maya would just take his back and hold his back for... The first round, Maya was on his back for 4 minutes and 45
that's,
seconds.
That's what Maya said. He goes, you know, usually I'm very good in these positions, but this Fitch... He fight off the choke very well.
Yeah, he's just there. He couldn't finish him, but he was all over.
When I was in Singapore, the place I was training, this Evolve MMA, they just have like 9 black belts cruising around, and all of them have like horribly difficult to understand Brazilian accents. You have to grab the koala, and then you go for the and then you go for the submission.
Did you see Jake Butler?
Jake Butler actually looked really... He fought a total dud, but he actually looked really good.
He's a Jersey Shore guy.
Yeah, Bob Seidel beat him in freshman year in the county finals.
He's tough, man. He could be good.
I think he could be really good. I mean, I think he's going to stick out there for 1FC and stuff. And he'll probably be... I mean, I think he'll be fine out there.
I used to, when I was commuting up to New York, I used to see him on the train all the time. We were both working in New York and take the train back with him and chat with him a little bit.
I
just read an article that he gave up he had some big ass finance job and gave it up to move out to Singapore to train.
Well, that's kind of true. So I guess, I mean, I like to hear all the different details from him, but I was with him and Tom Lawler for a little bit at the fights. And we're supposed to meet up later that night in Kuala Lumpur, KL, but they didn't make it. But I was asking him about it. He's like, yeah, you know, I was cruising around like Bali and Vietnam. And it was definitely like man traipsing through Europe or man traipsing through Southeast Asia. And then he saw that the owner of Evolve had posted across the internet that he was looking for wrestlers, and that's when he showed up. I mean, the guy like looks like a beast. Like his physical body, he's got the build, man. He's kind of long.
What weight is he at? 184 or 185?
Yeah, he's 185. I think he might have been at 170. No, he's 185.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think 70 would be a big cut for him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But he looked good, man. It was funny because they put him against an Indonesian wrestling champion. And I was like, I think this one might have been overbilled.
Edgar, Aldo, another close match, but Aldo looked incredible. In the first three rounds, he was so fast. Edgar couldn't really match his speed, and he eventually wore him down. He won the last two rounds, but not enough to win the fight.
And over him getting knocked out, was it his pleasure? Was his pleasure filled?
Yeah, it was pretty great. He had a smile on his face right before that, and he really wasn't giving him any respect at all. And Bigfoot just came out just like a bat out of hell for the third round and just completely smashed him.
He swarmed him.
Swarmed him. Big time.
Tell you what, man. People sleep on uppercuts. That I saw the knockout. Tell you what, those are some vicious uppercuts.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he had no chance of making it through that. He was out for on his feet and then got hit another three or four times.
You know, it's weird because when you hit somebody and you knock them out, you got to be careful not to wake them back up when you hit them.
Is that true?
That's true. That's what happened to Edgar against Gray. Gray punched him, knocked him out, and then basically woke him back up.
Hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. It happens all the time. I mean,
I don't know if that's happening at heavyweight, but maybe.
I don't think I want to get hit by any of those guys at heavyweight.
Nah, that's what I was thinking the whole time, is I really don't want to get hit by any of these guys.
What do you think about the UFC having rankings?
I had no idea.
They have like 40 so far journalists, and then they're asking us to submit our applications to vote on the top 10 in all the weight classes, top 10 pound for pound, and they're going to have rankings that they're going to use.
Really? Pound for pound, I guess you got to put Silva at the top, right?
But I don't think he is. I think Weidman comes off injury and just demolishes him if they take the fight. I don't think Silva will take the fight because he knows it. You're fighting a wrestler who's way better at wrestling than Chael Sonnen and who's incredible jiu-jitsu. So I don't think Silva takes that fight.
I think he takes it.
But interestingly enough, when I was at Public House, a bar in Chicago that everyone should go visit, I saw them just him hanging out with Ed Soros, which is Silva's manager, the whole night, just talking.
I think that fight happens. How much say does he have whether he fights him or not?
That point in his career, he's got a lot, I think. He did just sign a 10-fight contract or something.
Just nobody else they can throw at him, though. Who's the alternative?
Nobody now that Rashad lost.
He didn't look good. He didn't look good at all, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah, he just didn't do a whole lot. And he lost the boxing match, basically.
It was pretty funny to hear Dana White say, "Have you seen that guy's house? That's why he's not fighting." Like, you know, basically saying that, you know, he's lost the edge now that he's a millionaire.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. Like, when Alistair, I mean, besides scaring me with those kicks, when we rolled together, it wasn't like he was good at jiu-jitsu, so I was kind of wondering, I don't know. I just wonder about the guys that are that big. Anybody who has to grow their muscles that big, they're compensating for something.
Well, he's got a window, I think, to win fights, and he missed it. If he goes to the second, third round, and he's in a tight fight,
right?
He's not going to pull a whole lot of those out.
He was criticized before when he was at Pride for being somebody that, like a punching bag of Pride. I mean, he definitely took a lot of losses. And that's before he may or may not have started taking steroids, which I'm sure we can all agree he did.
Yeah. I'd put some money on that for sure.
I don't know, man. I think Peds... The ped argument is really picking up in MMA, and as it should, because it's ridiculous that you would step into the fight with somebody who's on that many testosterone and all those other... I mean, I'm not even worried about steroids, because that stuff's easy to test for, The people who are getting TRT exemptions, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than any other sport activity these days. It's everyone's doing it.
Well, the difference is that these guys are punching each other in the face. I mean, that's the big difference, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, that is a difference, yeah.
I mean, who cares if a baseball player is on drugs? Like, whatever. Like, it ruined the pastime. Whatever. That's dumb. Who cares? Football, even. Like, who cares? You're already out of control in that silly sport. But in fighting, like, you're going to punch somebody in the face? I don't know. Look what happened to Drago. It never pays off. Never pays off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm against it for sure. Other than that, I think to a certain extent there's some risks involved with the sport, and that's one of them.
Hey, when I got here, I was staying in this beautiful, beautiful apartment. This absolutely beautiful apartment, and so it feels like home. It doesn't feel like you're in India. I mean, it does because everything's decorated in Indian style. But I just wasn't even thinking. Like, and I make coffee with tap water, and their filtration machine had broken, but they didn't realize it. And so they had bottles of water to drink. But some of them were like the previous, like before that they knew that the filtration system was broken. And I was slugging bottles of unfiltered water, coffee. Oh my God. I couldn't have done more wrong. And then yesterday, I drank like a traditional almond milk drink as soon as I got done. And I was like, man, well, I was like, yeah, it's just milk, but I basically just looked in the eye of stomach disease and said, "Try me."
India's got to be top five worst places to try your luck in that stuff.
I think it's number one. I think the fact that there's Delhi Belly as like a little moniker, I think that's pretty much you're pretty certain that this is the worst place. And the guy was telling me like he's been living here 5 years and he's still really really careful.
Oof. Yeah, when I was in Thailand, even I only drank bottled water.
But there's just times like when like I just don't think about it, and I don't know. Like I brush my teeth. That's the other thing I did. I brushed my teeth.
Yeah. Eventually, I stopped using bottled water to brush my teeth because I thought it was slightly ridiculous. But yeah, you got to be careful. Gotta be careful out there. Different world out there.
When do you leave for your trip?
March 23rd, technically. But I go to Vegas first.
Wait, who's the NCAA Coach of the Year?
Who's the NCAA Coach of the Year? Brian Smith.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Top five finish. If they get top four finished, especially, he'll be Coach
of the Year. Has he gotten it already, though? He may have gotten one recently.
No, he probably got one back in, like, 2007.
Yeah, I think he's probably a good choice. Steve Garland. Let's throw him in there. Throw his name in the ring.
No. He's got to get – what? They got to do a lot better than that.
No, I mean, he's going to have to – when do they do it?
They do it at the tournament, right?
I don't know.
Well, we here at Intermat, we do ours too.
If not Garland, what about help me out. Tech. Virginia Tech guy.
Oh, Dresser.
Yeah. What about them?
I mean, again, like you don't give it to, you have to give it to the most compelling top four guy.
Depends what happens at the big dance, but Brian Smith probably a good choice right now.
Brian Smith is a great choice. Let me see if I can find out when he was Big 12 Coach of the Year in 2012 because they won Big 12s.
Yeah, so he can do it. He can get it. Me, James Green, and Derek St. John also this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
D.S. John. D.S. John walking away.
D.S. John. Who do you like?
I like D.S.J.
Yeah? Me and James Green has been known to pull a match or two out. He did lose to Alton, though, recently.
Yeah, but
St. John's a favorite. I just don't like how St. John wins.
It does. It feels cheap. I know that's probably not something that's going to...
It's kind of... I'm going to take some grief for this, I'm sure, but it's not as effective, but very similar to Dake. Dake style.
Yeah.
Dake's much better at doing it, but he's, you know, he's exciting against some guys, but when he gets in big matches, he doesn't open up.
No.
He shuts it down. He can ride anybody.
Hey, I just want to mention this. This is Don Sequitur on Facebook. I have a cousin who is in a full-armed makeout with his girlfriend as his profile photo.
That's nothing short of unacceptable.
Right? I feel like I don't really want to – I mean, I like him, obviously, but I don't really want to get into a conversation with him about it. But I feel like
– maybe you should just have him listen to the podcast and just slowly let him know that what he's doing is wrong.
What do you think is the most inappropriate type of Facebook post? What is the most inappropriate Facebook post?
Religion.
Religion?
Religion?
So you think when people get out, you think it's like a first date, don't talk about religion and politics? I feel like that's all anybody talks about on Facebook.
Religion and politics, I mean, it's so goddamn annoying. That's why Facebook is, I'm slowly moving everything, all my stuff over to Twitter, if you haven't noticed. it's a long transition, but yeah, I don't know. Facebook annoys the fuck out of me.
Tell us how you really feel.
I think Facebook is great if you're promoting like some sort of business or, you know, I think it's had its day for me, and I'm about to inch away from it.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, there's a lot of services that I like. Obviously, like the photo sharing and the photos and all that kind of stuff. It's really easy to access and it's free.
Yeah. But
it can be – I'm not worried about people like peeking in on my life. It's not – really doesn't bother me. That's not my concern. My concern is like launching a jihad against everyone who writes the most ridiculous posts. I think it's
– yeah. There are people that live their life on Facebook, right? That's not their life. That's what they're – that's – what they want you to think their life is. That's the best representation of their life.
And this is interesting too. Like for a while, it was like people were citing Facebook as like a portion of their divorce settlements. And then also there's this whole study about the Facebook blues. Like basically people never post on Facebook, like I'm having a very average day and I'm not doing anything, but you see that, you know, they might pop up every 6 months with photos from Bali or photos from India or something, and you think to yourself, like, oh, man, this person's living the life. Now, if you have 1,000 friends and they're posting every 6 months about this, it's just a constant stream of people with their arms in the air, their sunglasses on, wearing a lei, and drinking, you know, pina coladas.
Right.
And you're sitting in your, you know, dingy apartment or you're at work and getting yelled at by your boss, and you're like, this is not the life for me. What am I doing with my life? These other people are having such a great experience.
Right, because you're really just seeing the best part of everyone's life.
Yeah. I mean, in a weird way, then I think it should make us feel good that when we look at Facebook and somebody says something like, you know, how could you do that to me? At least we then can say, well, they're having a bad day. At least I understand. You know, I have those too. But what about – yeah, full Bible quotes.
I just post all day, every day, and it's time to cut them out. It's time to start weeding them out.
Full Bible quotes – gotta go. Anytime there is any kind of prophesizing about anything, politics, religion,
personal situations that are aired out on Facebook, big no-no.
Oh yeah.
Broke up my boyfriend. You know, I don't know. People crying. People essentially crying publicly on Facebook.
Yeah. Tell your therapist, don't tell Facebook. But then again, we're engaging in it, so really we're validating there. Yeah, so we're validating this behavior.
Yeah, the hashtag. What's your stance on the hashtag on Facebook?
I like the hashtag. On Facebook?
On Facebook, yeah. People that take the hashtag and throw it on Facebook.
You know what that's from? That's from people who are posting, because you can connect them. So people connect their accounts and they'll just hashtag through.
Right. And that is acceptable. But there are people that don't know. I think there are people that still don't know what the hashtag is. I didn't know until like 2 weeks ago. So I didn't use it.
But now you are the person who oversees all things hashtag. I got you.
No, I still really am not on board with the hashtag, but at least I know why it's coming now. Mm-hmm. But there are people who like post a picture on Facebook and just throw like hashtag beach. I'm at the beach. I have a picture of the beach, and I'm going to hashtag beach. But you don't know what I'm doing or where I'm at. So I'm going to hashtag it for you.
Can you hear the pounding in the background?
Yeah, I do hear that.
They are building an apartment building right next to this apartment building. And when I first got in, I was so tired I wanted to take a nap. And that pounding didn't stop for 7 hours. And I still was able to get the 10 minutes, but it's disruptive to say the least. Fortunately, it rained all day yesterday and there wasn't any pounding. But
stuff.
If readers want.
There's a food there.
I mean, we have like a – there's a – The guy who I'm staying with, he has like a – I know it sounds ridiculous, but he has like a servant. And he has like a chef guy, a cook, who does all his – a guy who does everything. And he made us traditional Indian food. Just, you know, he blanched all the vegetables and everything like that, bleached them. But it's good. I haven't like gone out and like eaten Indian food.
It's supposed to be really spicy, right? Like even a notch up from Thailand?
Yeah, spicy curries, that kind of thing. And I'm sure I'll eat some coming up here soon, but I really just want to make it out of this whole thing with no, you know, I don't want to get amoebic dysentery.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can get on board with that.
What time is it there right now?
10:02 a.m.
10:02 a.m. You know what that means?
What?
It's my bedtime.
Oh, that's right. All right, buddy. I know that means so, you're just going to go to the club with all the other 1%ers, talk about your upcoming trips, post them to Facebook, hashtag best life ever, hashtag we are the dream, hashtag 1%ers.
Hashtag sleeping, hashtag pillow.
Hashtag.
Hashtag teeth.
Hashtag models. I know.
Hashtag one line left. Hashtag. Do you end a hashtag like a parenthesis?
No.
So we got one line left. Ready?
Sure.
One good dual meet that is worth making a line for. Penn State at Ohio State with Logan Stieber back in the lineup.
You want me to make it right now?
Yeah. Why don't you make it?
I'll make it 11.5.
11.5? I like that. I will take Penn State to cover.
God, this is annoying. Okay. Throw 10 on it?
Yeah, sure.
Sounds like a plan. And, Brian, I hope that you get good hashtag sleep.
Hashtag out.
Later. Everything is going to the beat. Everything is going to the beat. Everything is going to the beat.
Against your rules again.